Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast at American Muslim Community Foundation. And today we have on Marguerite Hill, who is the executive director and co-founder of Muslim ARC. They have been nominated as Outstanding Nonprofit. So welcome to the show, Marguerite.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome. Thank you for having me. I mean, I was going to say welcome to my home, my humble abode. Yeah, wow. I'm still astounded that, you know, we are nominated. Such an honor.
Yeah, you know, it's often this work in the nonprofit community is like a thankless job. So this award series is just kind of a way for AMCF to share their appreciation on behalf of the entire community. And we were thrilled to see your nomination come through. So, you know, I'd love for you to share a little bit more on your background, how you started Muslim ARC, and kind of how the organization has grown.
Yeah, so I guess a little bit about my background. My work in the community began in the early 90s with Muslim student associations, like in community college and beyond, and even with my undergraduate when I transferred to Santa Clara University and being involved with founding the Muslim Student Association there. And as I was growing up as a young Muslim from my late, you know, like teens to 20s, question, you know, there was a lot of questions around race, identity, but also, you know, we were dealing with a lot of the political climate in the 90s, right? And I actually went back to school right before 9/11. And so those kind of like with the war on terror and everything. And so those questions kind of converged as I applied to graduate school, where I wanted to explore racial identity formation in Muslim communities. So as a historian, I studied anti-colonial resistance and traced like Muslim education networks that spanned the Sahara. So, you know, I did some field research in Morocco, and I looked at racial identity formation in Morocco and intercommunity like connections. And I also did that in Egypt. I spent time in Kuwait. And when I left graduate school, I taught at an Islamic school. And, you know, from there, you know, that those still those same questions around race and intercommunity relations as I taught in Philadelphia in an inner city Muslim school, where I saw that there was a lot of tensions that was actually affecting the religious identity development of some of the Black students. And when I went on maternity leave and I ended up teaching Intro to World Religions in community college and fell in love with teaching online eventually. And around 2013, so that's when I saw like young people, Arab and South Asian Muslims using racial slurs in Arabic and in Urdu, anti-Black racial slurs. And so a few of us came together through an email. So independently, I was thinking about trying to start, create a massive online open course so that we could do some leadership development for people that could go to Islamic schools and address, you know, race relations, you know, like, because guest speakers were always like, the people get really excited about it. When we tried to teach it as teachers, it didn't work. And our main, my main concern was that, you know, we always had this hope that our next generation was like, oh yes, racism will die out in the Muslim community. You know, it comes from like the uncles and aunties. But as we saw young people replicate this, it was like, okay, we need to make that intervention. So when Namira Islam sent out an email to 20 Muslim leaders, saying, you know, like we have to address anti-Blackness, let's start some online campaigns or important discussions. I responded immediately when I got that email thread, and I was like, I am down, I am for it. You know, this is so exciting. And I shared with her my ideas. She is a lawyer with a graphic design background. And I just was like, so fascinated, because I did some work on design-based thinking and then was deeply involved in instructional design. And so as a historian with some design experience, we just kind of came together with a few other women, and Namira and I, our chemistry really worked really well. She's Bangladeshi American, really passionate, really great. Her solidarity and allyship were just phenomenal, and we were able to launch the campaigns during Black History Month, being Black with being Black and Muslim. And with that response, the response to the hashtag, we saw a need to really commit, like to establish an organization and a human rights education organization, mm-hmm. so that we could build solidarity within Muslim communities, so that we could, tackle Islamophobia in a way that was meaningful through authentic relationships.
You know, what a perfect combination of like the trajectory, and it's really inspiring to see how some of these very formative organizations are created. And, you know, it's like people brainstorming, people coming together, people talking about community organizing and how their power and voice can help uplift an entire community. So I really commend you and Namira for starting that effort. And, you know, if you fast forward, 6 years or so, and, you know, obviously the political climate, the social climate with Black Lives Matter movement and the elections and so many things that have happened over the last 6 years, from police brutality and shootings to social justice movements, you know, I think the need for Muslim ARC has just exponentially grown and it's come to the forefront. So can you talk about how some of these societal issues have brought Muslim ARC to the forefront as well?
Yeah, with the movement for Black Lives, you know, I mean, this has been a deeply personal issue with police brutality, mass incarceration from within my own family. And it was like a cause of reckoning, right? Like in that summer of us not seeing a lot of our own clergy, right, of issuing statements. And so what we wanted to do was provide some guidance, right, to both say, you know, like, it's okay to get out in the streets. There's a lot of questions and even some pushback about Muslims being able to protest, right? And so we wanted to provide some resources. We wanted to show how deeply intertwined those issues are and how there have been Muslims that have been both impacted by police brutality. And even if there wasn't a single Muslim that have been impacted, that it was important for us to stand up. And so for us both issuing some action plans, some guidance, some tools, resource kits, we launched a petition and we had 300 organizations sign. And that was like the Muslims for Ferguson, in a few other in those coalitions. So, mm-hmm. You know, as we see with so many social movements that they've been fragmented along racial lines, and if we're going to be really effective, just like, you know, recently from these elections, seeing how things change, Muslims getting out the vote, it takes broad-based coalitions. And, you know, during that first year, I mean, we did focus a lot initially on trying to address intra-Muslim racism. And as we did our needs assessment and as we had deeper conversations, and for me, honestly, like as a historian, there's a difference between studying race, right? Like I could mm-hmm. study racial formation, but that didn't make me an anti-racist. And so sure. over time, like I had to learn more about what was anti-racism, what was the process of developing an anti-racist identity for mm-hmm. like for as a person of color, as a Black woman, what did that look like for white people to become anti-racist? I also had to, like, I was introduced to community organizing. And so I ended up going through several, like a few fellowships and intensive trainings. And what I found was in studying anti-racism, some of the most effective organizations, Crossroads Anti-Racism, they take a community organizing framework, which is really building people power. It's not just right. focused on like, oh, you know, education campaigns for the dominant group, but building collective power for those who are impacted and working together to create communities, right, to change our society in a way that's more just. And so, you know, and much of our work has been supporting the ecosystem of social change as we work towards justice through consciousness raising, right, through strategic planning, by bringing people together to have both critical conversations, but also to plan, to make recommendations that they could go back and share with partners, with funders, right, and their community. So it's just been through our relationships and through our network, we see that being part of social change and organizing has been critical. And I've been really pleased to see Muslims take an active role in all of these sectors.
Right. And I think it's, you know, definitely timely and, you know, maybe even late, but I think it's better that we're focusing on this now, so that, like you said, we can hopefully break these cyclical generational issues and at least bring them to the forefront and confront them, so that our community can learn to heal together through this. And you know, in your application, I was reading about how, you know, prior to COVID-19, you were able to do like 25,000 people on the ground training, and then through like online efforts as well, an additional like 48,000 people. So, you know, you've done a variety of panels and workshops and lectures. And what does it mean to kind of have like people from all across society, whether they're journalists and screenwriters or nonprofit leaders or people of all backgrounds from, you know, Hollywood and just mainstream, to then like community-led organizations as well. So can you talk a little bit more about the significance of being able to reach such a wide audience now?
Yeah, the expansion, right, has been really powerful. I mean, we've always brought together so many different types of people, right? Like from very, you know, we've had imams, right? Like they're part of our organization, to people in Hollywood, like artists, and come together and have thoughtful conversations, right? Like that's been part of our deep mission, right? Is getting out of those silos so that we can talk about that anti-racism is a multi-pronged approach. So being able to have the mission expanded and to reach more people has, you know, it has been encouraging, you know, and I think it was good and timely. Like, I mean, we had reached a certain maturity and reputation as an organization, where people saw us as in the lead, of starting, you know, starting these conversations and sustaining them. So it was deeply an honor to be able to be here and be a resource to, from university groups to community groups to, you know, Muslim artists. And what I am hoping is that we can continue that momentum, not just in the moment, but that we can maintain it. And that's what's important for us, is like the commitment. And we have people that have said that they're committed to anti-racism work. And so we're here to support them through that journey, because we think that journey is truly rewarding and deepens our understanding both of our faith, of ourselves, and of each other.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely a critical resource to the entire community. One that's well respected, one that is, like you said, bringing these coalitions together. And, you know, there's always going to be pockets in the community where people just maybe don't have the same framework of understanding. So, you know, what's your advice to people in how they engage those segments of the community?
Well, I think it's important for anyone in leadership is to really learn, right? Learn who your constituents are, learn who your neighbors are, right? Find out what are the neighborly needs. We're constantly doing, you know, small like check-ins, needs assessments. And in fact, we're launching a few other needs assessments for different segments of our community so that we could hear back. It takes being humble, right? Of getting that criticism, just like getting this nomination. I mean, this causes me a lot of reflection, right? And accountability. It's like, how could we do better? I mean, if we are considered for being outstanding, it's like, how can we truly be outstanding? How can we better serve? I think that's important. Really making sure that we're serving those who are at the margins, right? Who don't have resources. And Muslim Mark, we're hoping to model that We're looking forward to learning more from people who may have felt put off, right? Whether it's like from the language that we've used or the medium, like we're just like we were online for so many years, partly because we didn't have resources, like we were under-resourced to distribute flyers or distribute pamphlets to people. You know, those are costly, right? Being able to travel or move in certain spaces. And so what our hope is that we can model of like, how could we make our work more accessible? And how could we distribute resources in a way that make this more just? So, you know, like I invite for people who are trying to learn how to be anti-racist, how to develop a racial equity framework within their own institutions to join us for these critical conversations. Every first Saturday of the month, we have membership meetings, and you know, we're open to conversations, and we like to stay, you know, stay in those meetings and keep the conversation going and flowing. So I would say join us for not only just for the conversations, but sharing your feedback and your ideas. And also, what are your challenges? This work is not easy at all, and we have to embrace the challenge of it, but it is really worthwhile when we make those changes.
Great. I really appreciate you sharing on behalf of Muslim Arc, and you as a leader, the work you're doing and just who you are is inspiring. So continue to, lead in the community and be a resource. We're really thankful to you and the Muslim Arc team.
Really an honor. Thank you. It's super humbling. You know, I mean, it's, I've learned so much from everyone, and I hope that I can share what I've learned so that many of our, like those that we're co-learning together, that they can exceed us, you know, exceed our generation and do better. Mm-hmm. inshallah.
I mean, so again, we're really excited to host you and all the other nominees in all of our categories at the annual symposium, which will be taking place on Saturday, November 14th. We have a special guest speaker, Hassan Minhaj, and you are also going to be a panelist at the event as well on Nonprofits Creating a Better Tomorrow. So really looking forward to hearing your remarks. And thank you again so much for being on.
Well, thank you.